San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB tonight. We'll explain later, but with 50,000 watts of power, we're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night out to the desert. And time to introduce the main man of the hour. He is a...
Joe, no more star.
I'm not going to mention that. Good. Hang on. I know what I'm doing. Hang on. He is an accomplished marathon runner. He is a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author, and he's a family office advisor to several high-net-worth families. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight, Mr. CPA?
I'm doing great, and I'm pleased to announce that we now have Lindsay Smith and Marie Garber running Star San Diego. Russ Davis and I were put out to pasture a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
For the La Jolla event after serving 4 years. So we're still Star members and
okay.
on the board.
But, and Star
you can't, but you can't really use that description anymore now
okay.
that Lindsay and Marie, we decided to bring in some
well, I wasn't gonna
very
say
intelligent younger blood. So
well, you need to do that in every organization. So that makes good sense.
Exactly.
But Star San Diego, for those of you we mentioned before, it's a strategic trusted advisors roundtable, and they have some very nice events in San Diego. Well, University Club, Sheridan, the Sheridan La Jolla,
and the Crossings in Carlsbad,
and up in Carlsbad. So get on star-sandiego.com. Is that correct?
That's it.
Okay. Hey, on the line we've got this is a sergeant in the lifeguard service for 25 years, and he contacted me over the weekend, and he has some beefs on. He wants to get off his shoulders, so he's the spokesperson for the Lifeguard Association, and his name is Ed Harris. Ed, are you there?
I am here. How are you today?
I'm doing great, doing great. So I know you were very adamant about wanting to get on and tell us what's going on with the Lifeguard Service, and the beach is a jewel and an asset for everybody in San Diego. So what's really been bugging you? What hasn't been getting served in terms
Well, you know, we're coming into this mayor's race, and so I took the liberty to give you a call, and I appreciate you having me on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the Lifeguard Service has been represented, or most of the beaches anyway are represented by Kevin Faulkner.
Mm.
And we have been trying to get a new fireboat for about 4 years. And
fireboat?
It's a fire for it to get ordered.
A fireboat, right?
Yeah, lifeguards okay. do all the firefighting in Mission Bay and offshore. Okay. And so we've got two fireboats, and we've got okay. a crew of staffed.
Okay.
And so it's a fire rescue boat. It's used for sinking boats, fires, mm-hmm. Dive emergencies, a wide range of stuff. But
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess what I wanted to call in and just let you guys know is that, you know, there's a lot of talk about getting stuff done downtown, and the ability to get things done right now is just, it just doesn't happen. It's been that way for 6-7 years where you just can't get things done. For example, the fireboat, we've been funded for it for 18 months and it hasn't even been ordered yet.
Huh.
And so, you know, you guys talked about on your marathon stuff the need to bring in new blood. And,
yeah.
and so, you know, we're backing Nathan Fletcher for that exact reason. We need someone who can come in and really provide leadership here in San Diego. And we're hoping that that we can get him in office and bring some of that new blood, new perspective, and bring leadership to the city, because it's starved for leadership. It yeah. really has been for a really long time in the upper echelons.
You're a former Marine, and so is he, so maybe that's what we need to get, kick some butt over there, huh?
Yeah, you know, when things are really bad, they usually send in the Marines. So I think it's a good idea to do that, because I think we can all agree it's pretty bad down here.
Yeah. Now, what about these lifeguard towers? You said those were funded, too, and nothing's happened there?
Yeah, like La Jolla Shores finally got built. It took about 6 years. Most of these projects were identified in 2002. The Cove, for example, has been funded for over 5 years, and it hasn't even started. And so, you know, it's one thing to allocate money, but if your structure, your purchasing program, your development services, and all those can't get the job done, then your city's broken. And, you know, status quo. You know, Kevin has been representing the lifeguards. And so what we want is we don't want someone to just come in and say, yeah, I'll help you. I'm behind you. I'll help you. We need an advocate.
No
follow
through.
We need someone with passion, someone with energy. And that's, to us, that's been Nathan. So.
Okay. Well,
yeah, Ed, you guys have been doing great work. And, I mean, if you can't have the things that you need to do great work, I know it doesn't serve the best interest of the citizens.
Yeah.
And it's not about pay. You know, we've never lobbied Kevin for pay. This has always been about equipment, mm-hmm. staffing. You know, it's very difficult for us to sit back and watch – that he's going to fix the police problems and everything else, when we know he was the one who voted to cut all those things. Huh. And, you know, it's a difficult position to sit and watch.
Interesting. Now, what about the stench in La Jolla? Our good friend Mark DiBella, managing director of La Valencia, asked me to ask you. You guys have to deal with it and breathe that in. I mean, he says they're dealing with three different departments and he's getting three different answers. Apparently, under the former administration, there was some progress made, but what's
going
on with that?
You know, George's at the Cove, La Valencia, such great businesses. And as I was a sergeant in La Jolla for the last 6 years on the rock, so I'm well aware of the issues. And yeah, when the wind blows, it blows right into our face as well. But I do think they get it worse up there on Prospect, and the businesses are really suffering from it. You know, it's a big problem that needs to be tackled from a lot of different fronts. The sea lion population needs to be studied or in check. You know, there's no natural balance anymore, because if they get sick, SeaWorld fixes them or you know, and releases them. So there's really no natural balance. And so their population, we'll see 600 sea lions up on the rocks there in a single day.
Oh, my gosh.
And this has just been in the last couple of years that they've decided to move in there. And then you've got another 400, 500 harbor seals over at the children's pool. So,
oh, my gosh. I didn't realize
you
were there.
The past administration did some stuff, and definitely the smell was reduced quite a bit with the spray or whatever they're putting on. I just don't know how they fund that or how they continue to do that. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hope we get some solutions involved here and get things fixed. So, but Ed, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We've got to get to our guests and the rest of our show, but keep checking in with us. Keep and let us know what your progress is.
Ed, we appreciate your service.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Thanks for keeping us all informed, guys.
All right. Thank you. Ed Harris, Sergeant from the Lifeguard Service, and with some interesting reports there. Right, Richard?
Great stuff. Hey, a couple of announcements before we get to our great guest, Rich Gaines. You ready, Joe? Real fast.
Okay.
We had our movie premiere of Stickability Monday night at Arclight La Jolla. Had about 500 people attending that. Came out great. Also, that new book release. The new book, Stickability, is out. Got to interview some great people like Frank Shankiewicz, founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation. Gary Goldstein, producer of Pretty Woman. Also, Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, was in the film. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Frank Shankiewicz, founder of Make-A-Wish, a new book is out on Tuesday called Universal Wish, where Frank wrote the foreword and I wrote the second chapter. The lead author is Greg Reed. Mm-hmm. So everybody go to Amazon and buy Stickability and Universal Wish, plus the Stickability DVD. Speaking of books, my bestseller, So What's Your Play? How Billie Jean, Bobby, and Blindness Begat Tolerance, was accepted by the San Diego Library, that amazing 400,000-foot museum and library, and one of the most beautiful pieces of construction we've ever seen in San Diego. And I'm also going to be featured on the local authors exhibit on January 31st. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down to the library and check out my own book just to see how it feels.
Good.
Because I think that's going to be cool. So that's exciting stuff. And then this Tuesday, Joe, you're going to be attending the San Diego Press Club Awards. Why?
Because we've been nominated in four categories, and I'm told that we have guaranteed that we have actually won something. They don't tell us what yet, but so...
I believe it's for Most Handsome Radio Show Host, but anyway, we'll find out. Last but not least, Joe, I want to wish you a happy second anniversary. Did you get me a gift?
Not yet. It's not for 4 days.
Though. Well, but I mean, in terms of shows, it's our second anniversary. I got you a gift. I brought you the Universal Wish.
Yes, you did. Okay.
And Joe, you need to know I've cheated on you twice. Twice with ESPN Radio and twice on the Ray Lucia Show.
Hey, and then we did some great stuff with Billie Jean King. And
we did.
We'll always remember that. That was cool.
It was fun. Anyway, we have a great guest tonight, Rich Gaines.
Hey, guys.
And Rich is also writing a book. We're not going to start with your book, Rich. We'll go there in a little bit. How you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you guys tonight?
Doing well. Wonderful. I know when you were last on, you were promoting your business mentoring program, and I know you've got an event coming up. But how'd things go with the first one that we talked about a couple months ago?
Yeah, it went absolutely fantastic. The Business Legacy Mentoring Program was sparked out of something called the Inspiration Awards, which is recognizing leaders and businesses in the community that inspire and do things that are greater than themselves, of course. And what we wanted to do is to take that idea and make it a more regular event. And so that's what the BLM program was all about, looking at doing this every other month for businesses. And we added a very unique feature, something that distinguished it really from a lot of the other programs and events out there in the community, in that when you go to a networking event, most of the time you either get networking or you get a speaker or you get some facilitation. maybe sometimes you get a little bit of both of those, but you know, most people tend to leave these events and they end up going back to their busy lives. They go back to their work and they really don't implement anything. And so we wanted to take a look at how could we do something very different for business owners and sparking that or integrating it, moving it into the community environment. And so that's what the BLM program was all about. And what we did was we took the best of all three. So we have a networking breakfast, then we have very dynamic speakers. So we had Jesse Knight of SDG&E as our first speaker. He was absolutely fantastic, talked about his story of his life and his, you know, all the kids in the family. There's five of them, and how they were all motivated to do incredible things. One of the funny things he talked about was all of the children, except one, have been CEOs of large organizations.
Huh.
Except the one sister who ended up going into a religious field. And you know, I said she was probably the smartest one. So we have
there's certainly job security in religion.
Very job security, and yeah. I think she gets the spiritual nature of who we are and what we're about. So it was along that lines, but it was really a fantastic event. So we had him speaking, and then the thing that really also made it unique is we had business coaches in our community facilitating around the table for the business owners that were there about what the speech was about, what Jesse talked about in the speech, and you know all the context. And so there's some accountability to the idea of why people are there. So it really brings the best of all three worlds together in this one forum. We have another program coming up. It's November 13th. They are Wednesday mornings from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We have an incredibly special speaker coming up. It's Art Barter of Daytron and the Servant Leader Leadership Institute. So,
and a recent guest on this show.
Correct.
He was. Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to talk at the chamber, and then he had Ken Blanchard talk. So Ken was a great fill-in for the chamber. So it's very exciting to have Art. And, of course, you know, we talk a lot, Rich and Joe, about servant leadership and what mm-hmm. that's all about. And Art will be speaking on that topic. And it's really – I'm very much looking forward to it, because the context of servant leadership really takes the whole idea of what you're doing in your company as a CEO, as a business owner, and it flips it on its head. In fact, I've taken those ideas back to my company and talked to our people and said, you know, you're not working for us. We're working for you. We're here for you people. You know, we're here for you to make your lives better. Because if you think about it, that's what business is all about. Business is about making money so that we can improve other people's lives. So it should be very exciting.
When is that event again, Rich?
That's going to be Wednesday, November 13th.
Where we at?
And that's at the offices of Corporate Alliance, which is 9171 Town Center Drive.
Right off the 805 on La Jolla Village Drive.
That's correct.
And how do people find out more information about the event?
Can they go to your website and find out?
They can go to my website, okay. And they can also go to the Center for Wealth and Legacy. That's the primary site. So it's the Center for Wealth and Legacy. I don't have the
URL. We'll look it up during the break. So yeah. Let's take our break right now. Come right back with more It's Your Money and Your Life, live from La Vie East Campus. Take care. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, almost live from La Vie with myself, Richard Nusio, and our great guest and sponsor, Rich Gaines.
So just to fill in some information, you can find out more information about the event that Richard's referencing on November 13th at wealthlegacycenter.org, wealthlegacycenter.org. By the way, the Servant Leadership Institute is having their national conference here in San Diego in the first week of February of next year, and their keynote speaker is also one of our former guests on this show. That would be Mr. Dick Enberg, broadcasting icon, San Diego Padres, Wimbledon, etc. He's going to be the keynote speaker for that event in early February. So it's a small world.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's anybody is on this show, right, Rich Gaines?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, Rich, who are you? What do you do for a living? Because we just sort of jumped into your event. But give us a little bit about your background. Most people know you because you're one of our great sponsors. But what do you do, and why are you so interested in this legacy and this mentoring concept?
I'd love to answer that. Let me pick up just something real quick on the Business Legacy Mentoring Program again, real quick. We call it the three E's: experience something very unique, very different, where these business owners are getting together and having all three of those areas of opportunity that we talked about, expand, which is to expand out into the community. And that's really the key. We also had this event called the Inspiration Awards, which is recognizing very inspirational people doing incredible things out in the community and taking your business, taking the culture of your business, doing things that are very different than just transactions working. I mean, we talk about this all the time, Rich, you know, the transactions over and over again. So the BLM program offers businesses something very unique in that regard, and to engage with others. In that context of looking at engaging and expanding and being out in the community, that's what I'm doing. I'm speaking, I'm writing a book, and we've really changed our messaging into something called the Legacy Hierarchy and the five stages of wealth creation.
But backing up slightly, when we first met more than 20 years ago, you were just a basic living trust estate planning attorney, right?
That's exactly what I've been for a very long time, probably about 23 years, will and trust attorney, advanced degree in taxation. It was always a passion. I came out of law school and got an advanced degree in tax, and I was doing a lot of estate planning and tax planning work for people. But like most of us in the industry, it was very top-down oriented. So we were doing a lot of planning from the perspective of how do we save people taxes, and we would do a trust for a family, and we'd be lucky if we saw this family, more than 5 years or 10, they'd come back 5 or 10 years because maybe there would be a change in their life and they needed to update their trust. I mean, I've had clients come back after 15, 20 years. So I'm pretty grateful to the fact that I've been in this community a very long time, over 21 years, particularly in the North County. And, so I hope that my reputation has been pretty good out there, and people respect what we do. And the fact that they do come back for our services, I think, is a good indicator of that. And what happened with me in my journey is when I started turning 50, I was sitting...
Rich, you don't start turning 50. It just happens.
It just happens. Well, okay. The start was in the mental preparation for that.
When I turned 50, one of my friends said, Richard, don't worry. 50 is like the new 30. And I said, well, then why does it feel like the new 70?
It feels a lot harder.
So anyway, when you turn 50...
As I was approaching 50... And this is a true story. I was sitting in my office one day, and that's what I did. Sole practitioner. I was doing a lot of transactions, and don't get me wrong, it was a good life, good family, everything doing well. As I was approaching 50, I started thinking to myself, if I've got to do this for the next 25 years, it's never going to happen. I will figuratively kill myself. it just was not something that I could tolerate. And it was at that moment in time that the transformation started occurring. Plus, there was a little bit of a shove, a little kick in the butt, because the industry was changing itself. We were dealing with estate tax laws that were changing where people didn't have to worry so much about getting trust for the tax planning. And so the question became, how do we take this industry, how do we take the trend in what we're doing and make it come alive for people? How do we make it where it's something different, something meaningful, something that really can have an impact on families? And as this journey has unfolded, we've looked at these concepts of what is a legacy, what is your purpose, what is your vision, what do families really want for themselves, how do we make sure that the younger generations are prepared for the responsibility of wealth. I really love that phrase, the responsibility of wealth. And there's been a lot written about, how do we deal with educating the younger generations? How do we make sure that they're prepared for the inheritance? We have $26 trillion that are going to be passing down from the World War II generation to the baby boom generation and beyond. And one of the things that we're seeing and I'll call it the marketplace of the laws opening up is litigation. The kids are tearing themselves apart. They're litigating over anything that's going on in these trusts. The trustees, the fiduciaries, the ones that are supposed to manage these trusts for the benefit of the kids, they're open season for lawsuits, and the law is allowing it. The law, the way the rules and regulations have come in It's an opportunity for lawyers basically to bring lawsuits and almost with impunity. So it's very sad. And, you know, the question is, how do we stop that? How do we change that model? How do we take all the good that you guys are doing out in the community, that we're doing out in the community, that, you know, the Center for Wealth and Legacy, the Inspiration Awards, the BLM program, you know, Art Barter with his Servant Leadership Institute.
Don't forget the Oceanside Turkey Trot.
Oh, absolutely, the Oceanside Turkey Trot.
But let's hold it right there, folks, because we're going to take a break. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life live from La Vie East Campus right after this. All right, we're back with the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life with Richard Muccio, myself, and our great guest, attorney Rich Gaines, FamilyLegacyLegal.com. But we've got to thank some sponsors, don't we, Richard?
We're going to thank some sponsors. Obviously, Family Legacy Legal with Rich Gaines, our guest tonight. Lovely Law of Valencia, the west wing of where we are today in the east wing because of technical difficulties with equipment. Also, I don't like fog. I guess it was foggy there this evening. But we couldn't do it without them, Mark DiBella, Tammy Wong, and the crew. UBS with Michael Corantra and Drew Freitas. Also, want to mention that Art San Diego coming up, and we're going to have a special reception there on Saturday, November 9th, through this event that runs, I think, from the 7th through the
10th,
if memory serves. Art San Diego, UBS is the major sponsor there. Great event. Come on out to our reception on Saturday.
Let's give the website, Richard, artsandiego2013.com.
Right, artsandiego2013.com. Some amazing artists are going to be there.
Contemporary Art Fair.
Who else do we have? We have Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, best CFO company here in San Diego. Our favorite CPAs, who did survive October 15th. Polito Epic up in Vista, Don Epic and Paul Polito, CPAs. And Carl Sheeler, of course, no longer Business Valuations Limited. He's now merged into and is a shareholder in Berkeley Research Group up in Los Angeles, a great research and valuation company. And it's hard for me to remember the new name, so I'm going to keep trying with that one. Joel Gruskin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. I presented with Joel Wednesday evening and Thursday evening this week. As usual, he did a great job explaining to real estate owners how they can improve their cash flow in very, very significant ways. And last but not least, the best business bank here in San Diego, located right across the street from La Valencia. That would be Regions Bank with Mr. Steve Sefton. And Sean Puckett, one of the 40 most influential under 40s in San Diego, so long as he stays under 40. We thank all our sponsors. Couldn't do without you. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more about these amazing people
and
businesses?
Well, if they just get on their computer or their smartphone, whatever device they use, and fire it up and get over to iymoney.com and click on the sponsors tab, all their personal information is there, their contact information, phone numbers, everything. And you've been working with all of these folks for probably 30 years each or more, right?
Looking at the list and asking myself, who has been the longest? And the longest was, you ready for this? No, I'm not going to say who, because I don't want to violate any confidences, but the longest is 1989. Huh. That's a long time ago.
Right. So
let's see. I got to take my shoes off. Okay. 24. 24 years.
That's when I first came to San Diego.
Okay. Yeah. 24 years. Can you believe it?
So they're all great, and you've worked with them all, which is good to know.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Hey, Rich Gaines, you say you want to write a book. Why on earth would somebody do that?
It's 10 years to an overnight success, and I'm 6 years into the journey. So I was talking about the transformation when I hit 50 from being in a cave doing transactions to looking for something that is better and bigger and greater for people out there. And so the idea of this book is the five stages of wealth, and it was really based on Maslow's hierarchy. And I started thinking about how, you know, I mean, people obviously are emotional, they're psychological, that's where it all stems from, their beliefs and their thoughts, and you know, wealth is just an aspect of that. And what came together was this idea that there are five stages of wealth creation. So the first stage is survival. Well, the reason I wanted to write the book, of course, was because I think it's important to educate and get the message out there that people in life go through different transitions, and you can be in different places in those transitions. You don't necessarily just finish one stage and then you're done with it and you move on to other stages. You know, there's always setbacks that can occur. I've talked with people that are highly successful and, you know, they have an illness or something happens in the family, there's a tragedy, and all of a sudden they're back into a survival mode or they're back into a security mode. So the survival mode we talk about is basically making ends meet, whether it's making sales in your business. You know, maybe the business, there was a change in the nature of the market out there. The products changed, just like in our industry, in the estate planning industry. We had to innovate because our product has changed with, not many people needing trust from a tax perspective, but needing trust or should having trust from a perspective of the family is really critical.
Yeah, in our industry, the change has actually been disruptive as the exemption grew from 600,000 to next year, I guess it's going to be 5,340,000 per taxpayer. And my joke now is there's more estate planners in this country than there are families that need estate planning, if you're talking about trust documents.
Yeah, if you're talking about all the financial advisors and CPAs mm-hmm. that do that kind of work. So the security level is, your business is chugging along, you're doing well, everything's fine. And that's really the core of what most professions, I think, are about. The legal profession, the accounting profession, the insurance industry, the financial advisors. You know, most of what we talk about is, you know, grow your money, make sure your home's fine, get your life insurance, your disability, your long-term care, have a will and trust put in place, you know, all the security needs that are there. And I think most people get stuck in that security stage where it's just about another transaction, it's about another sale. And a lot of industries are about helping businesses make that sale. Well, moving into affluence and influence, which is really having the business where it's stable, and now we're expanding our relationships, we're enjoying the things that we have. Influence is about the change and the impact that we want to make as human beings. So Rich and Joe, I mean, you guys are great examples of guys who are in the affluence and influence stage. You know, your basic needs are met. You're not worried about those things. You're doing incredible work out there in the community. You've got the radio show. Rich, you've got the turkey trot. You're talking with a lot of thought leaders out there in the community. So you're definitely in this affluence and influence stage, and you know, your legacy, how you're going to be remembered is, I think, is happening. You know, you're living.
Yeah, as a turkey, but.
Yeah, as a turkey.
It's better than nothing.
And a very good looking one at that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's what the podcasts are for. That's our legacy.
So it's kind of like a living legacy. So I'm really excited about this idea, the five stages of wealth, and what the book is going to be is an anthology. It's a series that will capture each one of these stages, what's important in each stage, and how to move from one stage to the next.
So you're saying that advisors who serve families, particularly successful families, call those owners of successful businesses high net worth families, you're saying advisors historically have not done a good job of recognizing where families are on this continuum. They tend to focus on what I call supply side product orientation. Is that what you're saying?
I would absolutely say that I think most people are focused on the security side of things. The security is get your will and trust, get your estate plan, make sure that it's in place, you have something there. For what? For the future of when you're gone. And so where's the bridge? Where's the mechanism to say, well, how do we make sure that the family is actually prepared for the responsibility of that wealth, whether it's a business that's going to transfer down to generations, whether it's a liquidity event in a business where there's a substantial amount of money that's going to pass to the owners. Most business owners, as we know, especially entrepreneurs, their life is tied up in the business. They don't their life's tied up in the business that's all they knew. That's how they grew up. It's like they created a job for themselves as opposed to looking at what does the business offer. Thinking as a business owner means managing a company. It means people. It means what we talked about earlier with Art Barter and the servant leadership, that you're serving this organization, that you employ people and you're affecting their lives. And with that mindset, with that intention, it's a whole different shift in the conversation. We had a client in the other day. They had a dance studio in New York, a very successful business. The one owner is running the business. The other owner is out here in California, and she's getting a revenue stream from the company. And so we were looking at something called a buy-sell. If one of the shareholders dies, what happens? How do you, you know, what do you do? Where do the shares go? Does it go to the family? Does it go to the other shareholder? Do you buy it out? That kind of thing. So I was presenting this pyramid to this couple, and I had an idea that they were more in the affluence and influence stage because they had, you know, they had basically gotten themselves out of the business. They were successful. They had a revenue coming in. And so I asked them where they stood and talked about the dynamics of it. And they said something that absolutely shocked me. It surprised me when we were talking about how do we put the context of these different stages in the context of the buy-sell agreement. And they said, well, we're kind of in the affluence and security stage. So they went from the higher to the lower and surprised the heck out of me. And so I asked them, well, that's, and I was literally speechless for a few seconds and I had to think about why the security stage. And so then I asked them, I said, well, how come you said the security stage? He said, well, primarily because we are in semi-retirement. So the revenue stream that comes off the business was absolutely critical for these people. So here, you know, you have a fairly well-off couple with kids that I had done their estate planning before, and we'd had a lot of conversation around that. And so I had this idea that they were in this affluent stage, and yet they saw themselves more in the security stage because of the revenue stream that they needed.
Plus longer life expectancy.
Absolutely longer life expectancy. And so now we had a context in which to talk about, well, so how are we going to deal with this buyout if one of you dies or if you get disabled or what's going to happen, you know, with that revenue stream? And so that complete difference in how that conversation was framed was so exciting. It was it resonated. I did a little bit of a test case at a networking group on these stages, and I went around the table. There were four other people, and I asked them, you know, where they all fit in each stage. And it was absolutely fabulous, guys, because every one of them gave me a story. Every one of them told me where they were, but more importantly, why they were there. We had one lady, very successful. She was in human resources. She was a professional speaker. Her daughter had passed away. She had gotten cancer, and it took 2 years of survival mode before she could just now start to get out of that. She said she was kind of at the top end of the survival mode. So she was in that survival stage, even though before she had been in security or affluence. So what's the point? The point of all of this is that life's a continuum. Life's a hodgepodge. You never know where you're going, and people fit in a lot of different places in these different stages at different times. And so the goal is, what do we need to do to master each one of these stages, and not only to master it once, but to master it continuously so that we don't fall back, or to prepare for it. You know, what happens if there's a death? Yeah. So very, very exciting. That's what the concept of the book is about. I'm ecstatic about it.
And that's a good place.
It's a neat story.
Yeah, let's take a little break right there and digest what Rich just said. Come right back for more It's Your Money and Your Life, live from La Vie East Campus right after this. All right, we're in the home stretch of It's Your Money and Your Life with Richard Musio, Rich Gaines, and myself. Richard, where are we going from here?
I want to ask Rich, the other Rich, a question. I got a phone call about a week and a half ago from a woman who is, she and her husband own a very successful business. I'm not going to say much about it because I don't want to violate any confidences, but it's doing over $200 million a year gross revenue and has over 1,000 employees. So this is a big company. And she called me up and she said, I want to learn more about a family office solution, which is the business I'm in. It's sort of this internalization that we use for wealthy families to do accounting, bookkeeping, legal, property management, wealth management, where we're bringing resources in-house to devote to those kinds of things, as opposed to using outside resources, because, you know, when wealth is large, you can afford to do that, and it hopefully brings more coherence or more collaboration to the effort. But she said, you know, we built up so much personal net worth because of the success of the company, and the last 5 years of my life have been miserable because I've been spending 40 hours a week keeping track of all these things that we've accumulated, 8 LLCs, 3 houses, all kinds of rentals, you know, 40-something bank accounts. I mean, on and on it went. And she said, I'm really, really upset today because I haven't played tennis in 4 weeks. And then she went on to later say, I'm also upset because I used to be really active with my church, and now I've been so busy doing all this work. And again, she called me because she's looking for a solution to take a lot of that work off of her plate. She said, you know, I haven't been able to be active with any of the special projects and stuff that I want to do with my faith and my church, let alone have enough time to play tennis. Okay, now, this woman is very, very wealthy by any standard of calling wealth money or assets. But Rich, I think there's more to wealth than just money. And also the second question is, where on the hierarchy do you think somebody like this is, and why does she have no time?
I like to define wealth as wealth in values, beliefs, and traditions. And you made an interesting comment. You thought she was in the influence stage. And as I was thinking through the different stages, and we were talking that these aren't necessarily sequential. People can be in different stages at different points in time. I would actually put her more where she is right now, based upon the things that you talked about, that she's actually more in the security stage. She's at the top end of the security stage. There's certainly nothing wrong with the business. It's doing extremely well, but she's spending all of her time in the business. And so she's missing out on the things that she wants to get back to, which is the community, it's the church, it's her life goals, it's playing tennis, it's expanding the reach of who she is and what she's doing. And so I think the challenge is, how do you move from that security stage where most of us get trapped? We get trapped because it's another transaction, building wealth, growing wealth, having more rules and regulations to follow, dealing with, you know, all the day-to-day stuff. And how do we move out of that security mode into the affluence, where we really are enjoying the benefits of why we built a business to begin with? And then how do we create more influence for ourselves, our life goals, and ultimately that legacy about impact and making a difference in the world? So I think she sounds like she's actually more in the security mode right now, or stage, and she wants to get back into the affluence and influence. So, you know, the question is, well, how do you get there? And you touched on it earlier, because she said she wanted to talk to you about having a family office. And so the context is using the professionals, bringing in the people, bringing in the networks, bringing in the strategic relationships that are necessary in order to free her up and alleviate her from the day-to-day responsibilities of the business. Now, look, she's a CEO, so obviously she has things she's going to do. But to say that she didn't play tennis in 4 weeks because, you know, she's so busy, and I assume she's doing the things she doesn't want to be doing right now when she says she's not
she's
playing tennis.
She's doing too much stuff. Stuff.
And so who should take over that stuff? The people that, you know, she's bringing on board, her, either it's the accountants or the bookkeepers or the attorneys, you know, let these people do some of the stuff. We have a high net worth client that we're working with, and we were looking to do some corporate book record keeping for him. And it was fascinating because we wanted to go back. There were some issues going back in his company, and we wanted to get all the right documents to really understand what went on. And he started asking us, well, I'm really busy. Why do we need to do this? Can't we just do this? I'll do my own, and on and on. And it was shocking to me. I'm like, wait a minute. We're here for you. This is what, you know, you should be hiring us to do. And yet we were getting some pushback on that. It was very odd. So I think that, look, it's about awareness. It's about educating people. It's about having an opportunity to sit down with them and look at a different conversation than what most people are having.
Yeah, you define step three affluence as extend your wealth in all aspects of your life. Is that possible to do if you don't have enough time?
Well, yes, I think it is possible, because that's the whole point of affluence. It's looking at how do we move from that stage of security to the stage of affluence. And so time is a function of the management of what you're doing in the company, the priorities that you're setting for yourself, the goals that you have, the vision that you want. It's delegating where you need to delegate. I was a sole practitioner. I am leading a company now. It's a small company, but I'm leading a company. And so that forces me to make decisions as to what my responsibilities are going to be, what time I'm allocating versus what time other people are allocating. My partner came in the other day, a check was written to a name that was an old name, and he's telling me about this. And I look at him like, why are you bringing this to my attention? Just go take care of it. You know, you don't need to tell me about this. And so it's things like that. Now, look, she's obviously has a very big organization, but then the question is, who are the people that she's bringing up through the organization to help take over that organization when she's gone? Is it her family? Is it other people in the company? Does she, you know, what are the middle level management? What are they doing so that her time management can be freed up to get into those other stages?
Yeah, I agree. The interesting thing about wealth, when you start getting to the influence and the legacy stage, is a lot of wealthy families think that legacy is really only about writing checks to charities. but it can be so much more, right?
Absolutely. Legacy to me is about, well, it's how you're going to be remembered. What impact are you making in the world? What's your ultimate purpose? What's your ultimate vision for what you want to accomplish in the world and how you're going to be remembered? And look, it's not necessarily just about money. People will have a legacy. It just may not be the one they think it is.
All right. Well, Rich, we've got to wrap it right there. Thank you. This is a great legacy just having you on this program. FamilyLegacyLegal.com and get a hold of Rich Gaines. Richard Nuccio, have a great week.
You too, Joe.
Thank you to Justin Hart, our sound engineer, for always doing a great job. Thanks to Craig Blank, account executive. Thanks to Dave Smith with the NFL. He's over there, our program genius in London right now. Have a safe trip back. You guys have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night.